Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and also Truth Just Below the Surface, Freedom from Addiction. And I'm excited to welcome her to Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And we're having a regular that's coming on all of our programs because of just the information he brings.
Right. And this is third in a series. And it's a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission is the longest running single hosted and produced spiritually based radio internet talk show in America. It's been continuously running for the last 20 plus years. I introduce to you celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and then acting on it. More recently, as an investigative journalist, I have brought you truth just below the surface with emphasis on the coronavirus pandemic. So today, our topic is seeds of murder and what impels people to cross over the line into senseless killings. We're going to talk about a subject that might bore you at first. Almost every day on the news, you hear the headlines, another mass killing, which is a sad statement in itself. Worse than that, every time some mindless zombie mows down an innocent mother, daughter, father, we basically don't really feel it, unless, of course, it happens to come from someone we care about. But we need to care about this much more because in every city, and perhaps in many of the thousands of small hamlets that dot our country, there are individuals trapped in some sort of seething rage, deeply in need of help, but instead getting ready to grab their assault rifle and steal lives. Why? Why are these horrible killings everything as described, everything but unpredictable? What goes on in the mind of a killer, and why is it so prevalent in our country? My guest in the third episode is Howard Bronson. Howard, in my opinion, is the most critically thinking philosopher of the 21st century. He is a psychotherapeutic counselor and author of many books. He lives in Vermont, and we have two previous podcasts on racism and gossip, and I want you to go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com and look up Howard's previous two programs. They are great. His book is called Speak Up, Our Gossipy World and Its Connection to Racism and Mental Illness. So without further ado, let's bring on Howard. Howard, it's great to have you on the program again.
Thank you, Wynn, and thank you for such a kind introduction.
Howard, every time there's a new and more horrific massacre of the innocent, we hear a call for greater gun sense, and then nothing happens. Everyone's pointing fingers, and people are still pointing guns. Why can't we come together and solve this problem?
That's the question, isn't it? It's a good question. I think because I could tell you, and you understand as one of the world's foremost addiction experts, this country has an addiction to a fascination with killing. I mean, look at the TV shows, look at the video games. We are just enthralled by how people can kill other people. And we watch it with almost a sense of lasciviousness. Yes, it breaks our hearts, and it should just break our hearts, and that's it. But we are not really getting our arms around this, because unless it happens directly to us, unless someone we know or, you know, a child is involved in the shooting, we don't understand it. It's like simply explaining what the loss of a loved one is, just simple, you know, simple loss or simple death to people who haven't experienced that yet. They really can't sensitize it. So we have a very warped consciousness about killing in this country and about murder.
You call the mass killers members part of zombification of America, mostly men between the ages of 20 and 40. And why mostly men?
Well, you know, I could give you almost a Freudian answer, but I think it's, you know, mainly males who've traditionally been raised with more of a sense of aggression. And, you know, men who we are, you know, more certainly testosterone laced, we can be more aggressive. But there's a number of factors. I have a big issue with video games and how kids are growing up becoming desensitized to killing. And you correlate that with the shootings we hear every day on the news. And in a way, I think some minds mix up the video games and the killings we hear on the news, and they get to a point where they don't really feel or understand the horror of stealing, taking another life. You look at the photos, I mean, just doing a visual cursorial analysis, you look at the photos of some of these murderers, and they're in a daze. They're, like I said, they're like zombies. Zombification refers to the fact that a lot of people basically stop thinking for themselves. They let video take over. They let rage take over. And the problem is, when we have rage and we're young or an adolescent, we have parents, we have responsible adults, we have teachers who teach our children how to process rage, how to handle anger, how to handle frustration. Absent of that, if their teachers, especially in the last year, are video games and violent video games, they're suppressing that rage. And then you add, in my view, you know, heavy drug use, marijuana use. I know I'm going to upset my marijuana smoking friends, but I'm not a big fan of it. And my issue is, if you have issues to process or resolve, and you turn instead to alcohol, marijuana, or drugs, or food, or any issue, as again, you know, when you're the expert on this, you're not learning how to process your frustration and rage. So now you are, you know, in your late teens or 20s, it's easy to get a gun. You get a gun and you shoot people because that's how you kind of been zombified to process your rage.
Howard, in my teaching on addiction, I talk about 30 different types of addictive behavior. One of the top, as far as numbers goes, is the addiction to the internet and the telephone and the video games and all that. Since it is so common and so many people, especially it's a problem with people who are young and don't have a fully matured brain yet. Right. We've got a problem here that needs to be talked about. And I would like to have a discussion about that at some later time, perhaps, on that particular behavior. But you talked about zombification, and you also talked about What do you see if you step into the brains of these killers? Have you come up with what you see in their brains or not?
Sure. And you know, two comments. First of all, I agree with you that while social media can be a useful tool and a useful vehicle, like we're using now to try to wake people up, social media can also be the most antisocial thing a person can do. Wherever you walk, you know, in my little town, wherever you go, you see people's heads down and looking at their phones instead of their heads up and looking at the, you know, the blooms of spring and seeing people and smiling with your eyes, because we can't even see our mouths right now with the mask. So, you know, we really need to start waking up, and, you know, that a lot of that falls on the responsibility of parents. Now, stepping into the brains of killers, everybody's talking about gun control. And then people bring up that, you know, now corny phrase of, oh, guns don't kill people, people kill people. But, you know, let's go back to that corny phrase, because it isn't the trigger that people pull on the gun that we need to look at. It's what triggers the brain to become numb and desensitized, as we addressed, you know, earlier on in this show. So when we look at that brain, and you and I both know as therapists when that we need sometimes extreme empathy, especially when we're dealing with really galvanized, rock hard, extreme cases. People with violent tendencies, you know, who get easily triggered. It's, as I said, somehow they found a way to hide, often in social media as adolescents, or to exacerbate violent tendencies, hateful tendencies, frustration, sexual frustrations, rejection, you know, being bullied. Yes, it's horrible to be bullied, but it's worse to, you know, come into a school with an automatic weapon. Yes. And then we have the issue of automatic weapons. Sure. I mean, it, you know, assault rifles and automatic weapons, nobody's saying we should take away your guns. I mean, in Vermont, we all have guns. We hope we never have to use them in a violent, defensive way. But the idea of having so many assault weapons out there is concerning. And what we really need to do a better job, and nobody, no rational person without a financial vested interest should object to doing all we can to keep guns out of the hands of people who are prone to rage or who are mentally unstable. That's all we're asking. Nobody's coming to take everybody's guns away. We're just saying that if you're not stable, if we go back and we backtrace all these men, young men who have done this killing, there are points, you know, if the script of their lives is like at page 50 or page 40, we could have done something. We could have intervened. And the Japanese have been really successful at this. Israel's been really successful at this. Other countries have been, you know, Australia has been successful at this. It's the human, you know, it's that distorted brain that kills when you cross over and make that decision. That's danger zone.
Well, as far as an action step, would you recommend that everybody that's listening to this program today contact their senators and representatives and tell them that they want a program that does something about assault weapons?
At least for mental health screening. And if you're against mental health screening and you're a senator, a representative, a legislator, and you're against mental health screening, you are complicit in murder. You're complicit every time some crazy person pulls the trigger. You have a responsibility. You're paid $174,000 a year to lead and to protect your constituents. If you don't do this, you're a murderer.
Okay. You talk about a quote, remote control killer. Would you give us a definition?
You know, some time ago, I was like, just like flip channel flipping and, you know, going through with my little remote control. And, you know, I thought about, and I don't like guns. I don't want, you know, to be shooting. I don't hunt, but I respect that other people have the right to hunt. I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but I have had gun training. And I've also been trained on a 44 Magnum. And, you know, one of the things that was so amazing to me with the Magnum is you just barely touch the trigger and you can put a hole the size of a melon into a large paint can. So I thought about, wow, you know, when I'm touching the remote control on my TV, I barely touch the points, the buttons, and I can change the channel, and that gives me a power. So in a young person's mind, as the mind becomes more deranged and they think, wow, I can go kill people, it's easy. You know, I can just pull another trigger, like the triggers I'm already pulling and training to do in video games. And, you know, we don't have enough awareness training. We don't have enough parents who are aware of what games their kids are playing and what they're doing. And we, you know, we're not checking in on them enough. I'm always with my 13-year-old son walking into his room. He knows I have the right to do that. And if I'm looking at something, I'm not going to stop him from looking at something that's violent, but I'm going to say, look, that's really violent. That's really inappropriate. And I want to always make sure he's separating fantasy from reality.
All right. Okay. So you've identified six key factors talking about this remote control killer. And I want to list them for you and let you briefly make a comment, okay?
Sure, we'll go quick on this.
Parents.
Okay, parents are the key element. You know, parents and teachers are key, and you need to know what your children are thinking and feeling.
Friends.
Your friends are your support, but if they also see you heading off in a wayward direction, or you see a friend heading off in a wayward direction, you need to report that. You need to have the courage to do something because you can save lives.
Antisocial social media.
Which we've talked about and, you know, which Neil basically introduced.
Right.
And, you know, we've all shared that, you know, social media can be the most antisocial thing a person can do.
Okay. Video games, dangerous internet groups and clubs.
You know, because of the financial interests of video games and, you know, internet groups and a lot of groups and a lot of them run by legislators, which are basically infomercials, these can reinforce the worst elements of an individual. And if somebody is prone to killing or has the, you know, we all have a rage gene. And if we don't learn to manage it or tame it as an adolescent, you know, the video games or a club or a group, an online group, can reinforce the worst elements in our psyche.
Drugs, both illicit and possibly prescribed antipsychotics.
Something we definitely need to look at. You know, when I used to do marketing at Practice Builders for 5 years, I was a healthcare marketing editor. The psychiatrist used to boast that they would see their patients for an average of 12 to 15 minutes. They would check their prescriptions and then out the door. And some were just so proud that they could see 30 patients in a day. And I'm sitting there listening because I can't judge. I'm, you know, they're the psychiatrist. But I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You're not talking to them about their behavior, their thoughts, their feelings. You're just a drug pusher. So, you know, we have a big problem, as bad as illicit drugs. We have a big problem with how legal drugs are prescribed and how the individuals are monitored.
And the last is frustration and general rage.
I know a lot of people, as I'm sure you both do, who've never learned how to process their anger. The hardest thing I have is when I have a client come in here, you know, who's in his 50s or 60s, and we're talking about an issue, and suddenly, and you know, they've been an alcoholic for decades, or they've, you know, been smoking weed, you know, and that's their main thing they do. I'm not judging weed and I'm not judging alcohol. I'm just saying if it's all you do and your schedule goes around it, to me, that's a, you know, one of the elements of addiction. And that they, you know, that they, if they do that, then they've never really learned to process anger or rage. So here they are coming into my office at 50 and 60, and they're blowing up like a teenager might. So it's hard, you know, when rage is in your DNA at 50 and 60.
Question, Howard, all this stuff, you can really identify at a young age, right? Where certain people, how they're going to turn out. Isn't that correct? So working with young people and identifying their angers and certain things and where they're going is going to kind of lead to where they could end up later, right?
Absolutely right. In the mid-70s, when I was in Hawaii, I had the good fortune of meeting Alfred Hitchcock a few years before his death, and had a chance to sit and talk with him. And of course, as a young writer, you know, I got to ask him, you know, what advice would you give to an aspiring young writer? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "My dear boy, you've got to know what your audience is thinking. And once you know what your audience is thinking, you can go from there. We've got to know what our adolescents are thinking. We've got to know what our raging young men are thinking. And we're not doing that. We're failing to do that. We're failing to understand and communicate and reach out to them."
Howard, we talked about six factors that might cause a remote control killer. But some people exposed to all of these factors don't become zombie killers. Why is it that some don't and some do?
Good parenting, good mentors. I think plain and simple, if you have people who are watching you and helping you to discern, you know, real from horrible. I mean, you know, we're all watching the George Floyd trial, and it's so horrible, you know, and that some people, when you hear the defense and you hear them trying to play into the psyches of the jury to try to, you know, create any doubt that he was murdered. You know what? Real quick, if we have time, I have a solution that will solve this issue with the George Floyd trial. It'll take 30 seconds to describe. Can I share it?
Sure.
Okay. What you do is you take Derek Chauvin, you know, and the defense is saying that, you know, the 9.5 minutes didn't kill George Floyd. And you have Derek Chauvin subjected to the same pressure on the neck for 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Whatever happens will be the outcome of the trial.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of extreme, Howard, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's kind of TV-like, but it would solve it.
Okay, well, we'll just have to wait and see how this trial turns out. Sure. I want to know, Howard, do you have any idea what's going on in the minds of these remote control killers while they are killing?
Glee. You know, it's adrenaline rush. It's a thrill. That's very much like a video game. In fact, you know, when they've had some of the videos of the kids, some of them were laughing, were smiling. I've seen some of the Israeli videos and some of the videos here, there was a church shooting. They're getting this adrenaline rush. There's another word for it that begins with a D, I forgot. Dopamine. You know, this is almost like an addictive behavior because they become addicted to the fascination of killing. And that's a pretty sad statement.
Absolutely. So How do we intervene effectively before these remote control killers steal more innocent lives? Some of the factors you talked about were parenting and mentoring. What about mental health issues in trying to get these people who are addicted to killing or becoming addicted to killing back on the right track?
Parents and teachers can do so much because you can see in children, they don't hide their addiction, especially their addiction to video killing and, you know, trauma killing, you know, video games. And parents and teachers have an enormous responsibility. I'm privileged to live in a valley in southern Vermont where if anything goes on with your kids, if they're not eating regularly, if their behavior's changing, if they're getting more temperamental, you get a call from the teacher. You get the call from the teacher and they say, here's what's going on, I'm concerned, or they'll send an email. And we're all connected. The Indians have a term, Akakwiasin. We are all connected. And in my small town, I feel so connected. We all feel so connected to each other. Yeah, we have the gossip issue. And that's the dark side of communicating with people. But we also have the effective way to talk, which is talking to people directly. Talk to the parents. Parents play a huge role. There are many parents out there, many single parents, often single moms, who know their children are having issues or are seething with rage underneath, they're raging about the divorce, and they're afraid to do something. They're afraid to do what they can do, which is sit down with your child at the dinner table and say, let's talk about some of these things. And at first the child might blow up. I don't want to talk about it, mom. That's what adolescents say. They don't want to talk about anything with parents. Keep crying. Another great place is when you're in the car. I love talking to my kids, you know, when I'm in the car because I got them trapped and I can really, you know, talk about important issues with them. And even if they don't acknowledge it, I know they're there and I know the words are getting through. So it's a battle between the video and the negative forces in this world, which are more prevalent than ever because of social media. The battle between those negative forces and us as parents and teachers.
You've been listening to Howard Bronson today on this program. His book is called Speak Up, Our Gossipy World and Its Connection to Racism and Mental Illness. And in my opinion, if you're interested or concerned about racism, gossip, mental illness, you've got to read this book. It's one of the finest books that I've read this year. And Howard, tell them how they can get a copy of your book and anything else that you want them to know about contact information.
You can get the book from two sources. You can get it from Waldorf Publishing, W-A-L-D-O-R-F, waldorfpublishing.com. You can also visit our website, which is, you know, everything about who we are and all of the other books as well that I have out there this year. This is quite a year for me when I've got 7 books, 2 re-releases, and 5 new books. And, you know, we will go through them over the subsequent weeks, But that website is freeenterprisesolutions.com. That's free. EnterpriseSolutions.com.
Howard, can they get your book off of Amazon?
Books, yes, certainly off of Amazon. You know, there's hundreds of ways you can get it. You can go to Amazon, you can go to Waldorf. At Free Enterprise Solutions, you can learn more about who I am and, you know, my different counseling and coaching services as well.
Great. It's go ahead.
No, I was saying that absolutely great information, Howard, again, and this really makes you think about violence and what we need to do to stop it, especially gun violence. But go ahead, Wynn.
So my mission or purpose in life is to spread a message that there is a cure for All Addictive Behaviors. My book is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction, and then the number 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And if you meet 3 simple criteria, everybody gets well. I have 2 free resources where you can start your journey. The first is to follow the link to my podcast, which we're doing today. And that's www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No spaces, no capitalization. And for more detail about my treatment plan, you want to go to www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And guys, it's been a pleasure to be on this program this morning, and hope that y'all have a blessed day.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys, that was Freedom from Addiction, Truth That's Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. Take care.